are listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball,
a podcast
by fans from the iubase.com website.
For anyone wanting more information on the Indiana University baseball program.
Welcome. We are recording this on Wednesday, August 5th, 2020. I am Carl James, joined by stats guru Cassidy Palmer, the creator of iubase.com, Josh Bennett, and our special guest, Hoosier infielder and right-handed pitcher, Grant Maciocchi. All right, we got a few Hoosier highlights. Caleb Berger picked up his second win of the out of the pen already, and his slider has the highest spin rate among all left-handed pitchers for the Major League. Kyle Schwarber has now played his 500th Major League Baseball game. He is now the fourth Hoosier to achieve that after Ted Klazuski, Mickey Morandini, and Sammy Esposito. Kyle Schwarber and Josh Fegley both started the same game for the Cubs recently, and they are the first Hoosier alumni duo to do this in a Major League lineup since 1999. Among the current players, McCade Brown and Gabe Bierman have both made D1 Baseball's top 150 2021 draft prospects. In Summer League, Reese Sharp was the winning pitcher for the Grant Park Summer League title game. He had no hits through five innings, threw seven strikeouts, and gave up just one unearned run. That's it for the highlights, and now Cassidy will provide us some statistical insight into our guest, Grant Maciocchi. Cassidy, take it away.
Okay. So for Grant, starting with 2016, he was at Mizzou over here where I am now in Columbia, Missouri. He pitched 10 and a third innings, picked up one win and no losses in six appearances, and in those 10 and change innings, he only had two walks, which was really impressive. In 2017, he moved on to Murray State College, where he played in 61 games. And at the plate, led the team with a .393 batting average. And one of the things I like to see, 36% of his hits went for extra bases, which was nice to see. And he drew 43 walks compared to just 23 strikeouts, which is also really, really nice to see. And he currently holds the Murray State College single season records for at-bats, hits, doubles, triples, runs, and stolen bases with 32 of them in one season. That same year, he pitched 58 and two-thirds innings in 11 appearances, all of them starts. He had a 7-0 record with three complete games, had a 2.3 ERA, and walked just 13 batters while striking out 52. So really likes to draw walks and not issue them. That's nice to see. 2018, he redshirted. And in 2019 at Kentucky, he pitched 34 and two-thirds innings in, again, 11 appearances, five of them starts, and managed to walk single-digit batters, just eight of them, while striking out 30. And as we saw with the shortened 2020 season, Grant had exactly one at-bat. And then had an injury. So actually all of us at iubase.com got to see that one at bat. So that's one of the rare times where I have seen exactly everything there was to see in a season. That doesn't happen often.
So Grant, welcome aboard. Thanks for your time tonight. So you committed way back in December of 2013 to Missouri. And we'd read an interview where it looks like Murray State may have been in the final mat as well. So I guess Coach Mercer finally got it in 2019. So what was Indiana time around?
So they actually always give me crap for that, saying that we didn't get you the first time, we didn't get you the second time, but third time's a charm. but they've always been on my radar. Obviously love Coach Mercer, Coach Parker. And this time, I think I was kind of over the whole SEC. I want to play in the SEC, compete with the best, like all that, and really did what's best for me and my career. And went with Coach Mercer, where I know like the atmosphere at Indiana, the work that they put in at Indiana is just different than the rest of the colleges. So I pretty much knew this is where I wanted to be for my last year, or what would have been my last year, but things change, obviously.
You did commit very early. What are the advantages and disadvantages to making commitments so early while in high school?
So the advantages for me, it was really a comfortable thing to do. I kind of had the offer from the SEC, and I was just like, oh, that's where I want to be. Like, why would I not take it? But at the same time, I was probably 16 years old, 17 years old at the most, and I didn't really know exactly what I wanted or should have wanted. So that was kind of blinding. But disadvantage is kind of like you don't know the doors that open your junior and senior year. So I kind of just made it a little prematurely, but it is what it is now. So.
And your high school, Muller High School, has quite the reputation and alumni list. Was there a lot of pressure with all of those high expectations?
I wouldn't say so much pressure, but it was just the expectation that we would just win. I mean, I saw my brother do it, my older brother do it. I've obviously had a lot of older friends that went through Muller, and they were like, when you're in that situation, it's not a lot of pressure. It's just more like you're just expected to do it, expected to win, and then that's just kind of the culture they create there, and it's cool to be a part of.
And you got to pitch a shutout to win them the 8th state title. So I guess the pressure wasn't too much. What are some of your favorite memories from that title run?
Oh, my favorite memories. Obviously pitching that game, the feeling after last out's indescribable. But just all the dudes I played with over the 2 years, I mean, that's who makes it special. We were a really close team. One of my best friends, his little brother actually died in an ATV accident. So that next whole year, like the 2015 year, we were all just dedicated towards him and wanted to really win it for him and his family and just the community at Muller. And that was probably the coolest part, just knowing that like his family was so proud and just like that legacy lives on.
So following that senior season of high school, in April of 2016, you made your D1 debut for Missouri. What was that like?
It was awesome. It was pretty surreal. I was going through a little bit of injury. That's when my injury started. I got surgery after my junior college season. That injury started in like early freshman year, so I was just battling that all year, and then to finally get out there was kind of freeing, just to be like, okay, like I can do this. I got confidence in it. Like, let's go, basically.
So what were some of the hardest parts of that freshman year?
Oh, hardest parts? Probably just staying consistent, trying to keep my health consistent, because it was, my shoulder bothered me all year. Like, I'd get up, warm up, and then be like, coach, can't go today. So it was just hard to know, like, basically what I was going to get out of my body. And then as long as just adjusting, any high school kid has trouble adjusting to the strenuous schedule. Come from Muller, is a little higher level, so I was kind of used to it. But just the waking up at 5 a.m. every day, going to sleep at 9, then doing it all over again and again, that was just the hardest part to get adjusted, for me at least.
Yeah, well, you then went the JUCO route. Obviously, it paid off since you were able to get back into the SEC. After being named National Junior College Player of the Year. What would you say to someone considering junior college?
It's awesome. It's an awesome experience. For me, it was middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. Like, I've never seen anything like that. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. A whole lot of different experiences I wasn't used to, a whole lot of people I wasn't used to. Like, I'm talking like one stoplight in the town type of place, probably population of a couple thousand. So that was cool experiencing that in the first place. And then junior college as a whole is just really blue collar, really just bare minimum stuff. What you have is what you get, and you just got to make the best out of it. And we did, for sure.
It looks like the team that you played with was quite good.
Yeah, awesome. We had Troy Black that went to UK with me. Chandler Robertson went to UCF, and just a lot of good players. Everybody in the South, which I underestimated, everybody can hit down there. Everybody can play down there. And junior college as a whole is just really competitive. It's a lot. Everybody's a little more hungry. Like, they don't have a lot. So it was cool just to see that atmosphere and get that kind of that culture, that blue collar culture instilled in you.
And do you feel as though that high level of success and experience helped you transition back into the D1 game?
Of course. It was hard. I would say it was hard with coming off the injury, but it definitely helps the confidence knowing that you have the ability to do it, and all you really have to do is go out there and compete. And it kind of takes a lot of the pressure off, kind of takes a lot of the doubt out of your mind. So, for sure.
So, Grant, we know your older brother Brad was a really good player for Coach Mercer at Wright State. So what was that like growing up with a successful D1 older brother?
Yeah, he's a stud, man. He kind of just showed me how to act, how to carry myself on that. Once you get to that level, it's like basically you got to act like you've been there before. He showed me what it takes to, like, work hard. Like, he was with Mercer, so he knows, like – Coach Mercer instilled that in him, and then he kind of showed it to me every day. Like, he's obviously one of my best friends, and we didn't talk about baseball too much, but he would, like, come with me to work out and be like, I'm like, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like. Or when he's hitting, I'll be like, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like. So it made it a lot easier on me because I felt like I had the experience already before I went because of him.
Well, you also have a younger brother playing ball. Your brother Drew played JUCO ball in Florida. So you kind of got to see both ends of the relationship. So what was it like guiding your younger brother on that journey?
Yeah, so kind of the same thing that Brad did for me. Like, me and Drew work out together pretty much every day. And I wanted him to see what it looks like, how I'm supposed to act. And so he can kind of have that same feeling going into JUCO ball. And for him, it's a lot of just mental, like, I can do it. He got his season taken away from him, obviously, like a lot of us did with COVID. And he's been injured a little bit earlier in his career. So he doesn't have that experience in high school ball that me and my brother had. But I want to show him that it's, like, it's going to be fine. Like, JUCO, you just got to believe in yourself and work hard, and it's going to work out, you know.
And with that COVID-shortened season this year, what made you decide to return for the extra year of eligibility that the NCAA granted?
I really wanted to show what I know I can do to the rest of the people. I wanted to be with the boys again, obviously. I think we got something pretty special in Bloomington. Out of all the places I've been, we're real this year. And then I'm finished my master's as well. So those all went into factors, but it wasn't really a big decision for me. Like, I knew I was coming back for the most part because I want to be a part of Indiana baseball. I want to be a part of a full season, and because I think it's going to be pretty special.
What are you studying in your master's program?
I'm doing recreation administration.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, Grant, you've obviously had a long journey through college baseball, as we've kind of recap some of that due to injuries that you talked about earlier. Can you share with us some of the things you've learned and maybe what you value now that you wouldn't have thought about, you know, as a senior in high school?
Oh yeah. Coming in, I've matured a lot to say the least. When you show up to D1, you're just like, oh, everybody's talented here. Like, going from high school, you're just like usually on top, like, we're probably the best player in the high school in your area, whatever. But when you get to D1, it's everybody's good, you know. So it really comes down to who works the hardest and who does the right stuff for the longest amount of time, you know. Which I value. I've always valued hard work, but I value more of the consistency and the consistent hard work more than anything.
Grant, you're a two-way player, so. Can you kind of talk about how you juggle the differences between pitching and hitting?
It's like that helps me because when I'm in pitching mode, I'll be like, oh, like I'm going to throw this to get this dude out. But then when I'm hitting, it's like, oh, like if I was on the mound right now, this is what I would do. So I really think it helps me mentally in that perspective. I kind of have more of an insight on both sides of the ball, obviously. But as far as training goes, Coach Mercer and Coach Parker are obviously really flexible with it. I lift with the pitchers, can't get too big with the hitters, you know, and not be able to move my arm. But yeah, it's not bad. I've just been used to it my whole life, so it's like it's not too new to me.
Going into your final season of eligibility, are there any personal goals that you have?
Oh, I want to make it to the postseason. My whole college career, minus JUCO, obviously, I haven't been to the postseason yet. So that's goal number one. And then going all the way, obviously, be awesome. I think we have the group to do it, to be honest. Out of all the schools I've been to, like I said earlier, this is probably the most talent I've seen on a roster. And talent that can play together and talent that works together well. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to make some runs this year with the team.
Well, I guess one more I would have is, just what have you been doing over the past few months since everything got shut down? How have you been keeping yourself in the game?
Yeah, so I go and hit and work out every day. And I've been with, like, Adam Engel, the White Sox, Peyton Burdick, who's a minor league player of the year for the Marlins, Riley Mahan with the Marlins. Like, all these players, they've really actually helped me elevate my game just mentally and physically. Like, we'll hit every day, and they're just, like, bits and pieces I just take from them. I face them in a lot of live at-bats on the mound. And they'll be like, this is what we see from the batter's box. This is what you can improve on. And obviously that's great as input as anybody can give me because they're living it right now at a higher level than I'm at. So it's been really good doing that. And then I'm just trying to put on some weight as always. Get a little more durable and stay healthy this season.
One thing you had mentioned a few major league guys you've been working with. Did you have a favorite team growing up? Were there some players you really looked up to while you were growing up, some MLB guys?
Yeah, so my favorite player was – I'm from Chicago. I was born in Chicago, and my dad, my whole family's huge White Sox fans, and I was a huge Paul Konerko fan growing up. He was their first baseman, won the World Series, obviously, in 2005. And he was one I really looked up to. I just loved his game. I loved how just kind of – calm he was, and whenever it was a big moment, he'd always come through. So I just love watching him. He was like my hero growing up.
That's cool.
Was he with them when they won the World Series?
What'd you say?
Was he with them when they won the World Series?
Sorry, one more time. You keep cutting out.
Well, I'm sorry. Was he with them when they won the World Series?
Oh, yeah, he was. He had a grand slam to win game two.
I thought so. Yeah, yeah, I thought so. That was the Przinski year, right?
Oh, yeah. Everything.
How old were you when that happened?
I would have been probably like 10-ish or 12. Oh,
that makes me feel old.
Oh, not. Yeah, dude, not.
Yeah, it makes me feel old.
We've heard you're a big video game guy, and you're also quite good at it. So, what are some of your favorite games right now?
Right now, actually, before this interview, I was playing a little bit of Call of Duty. that's really all I play. I played me and Jordan Fusey and Colin always used to play Fortnite last year, but I kind of moved on to Call of Duty. So,
are any of your teammates playing Call of Duty?
Yeah, I played with Gabe a little bit. McCade, he's always on. Two other big gamers.
So, Grant, as we're kind of wrapping this up, what do you plan on doing after college and after any professional baseball are behind you?
I don't know. I got a lot of plans. Kind of hesitant plans. I'm not really sure the direction I want to go yet, but maybe like medical device sales or something in that area of work. But I'm not too positive yet, but I got a few options.
Yep. That's cool.
All right. Well, that will do it for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Read up on Indiana Baseball at iubase.com. You can follow us on Twitter at CUAtTheBart and at iubase17. We're on Instagram, iubase. And you can subscribe to the Talking Hoosier Baseball channel on YouTube, featuring these video podcasts. We've got Summer League game clips. We got game day media availabilities, a lot more. For Josh Bennett, Cassidy Palmer, and Grant McShockney, I'm Carl James. See you at the BART.